FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station broadcasting from the now hiringiowa.com studios. Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott.
There you go. God forbid, I can't hear you, buddy. Come on.
Coming in live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website, 1700thechamp.com. You can go there. You can listen to the show live. You can download podcasts. You can download them anywhere. But you can download them there as well. So, first day back. Had a day off yesterday.
Yes, you did.
Had a little...
I had a day off, too.
You did?
From here.
From here, yep. You had a little Iowa State basketball, men's basketball game last night.
Yes, you did.
I went somewhere, had beers. I can never remember the name of the place. I went to Mother's in Ames.
Really?
Yeah.
Welch Avenue?
It's right down by, Nate lives right down the street.
Okay. Believe it or not, I haven't been to a college bar on Welch or Lincoln Way in a very long time.
It wasn't much of a college bar. It was some old guys playing pool and some older than me people getting ready to go to the basketball game. So.
Somebody posted something the other day. It was Size Roost and Pizza Pit, and I'm just like, oh. No, love to go back up there.
Yeah.
And then I got a buddy of mine, his birthday was, because yours was
Sunday.
His was Saturday. And he lives in Ames still, works for City Ames. And he said, get up here. Let's go to Wallabies, have a drink and have, I'm like, oh, Wallabies. So yeah, I'm missing me some Ames. Need to get up there.
It was a lot of fun. Had a good time. And we'll talk about the basketball team. It's going to be exciting. Of anything, it's going to be exciting. The Big 12 basketball right now there's a lot of good teams. So
looking at, as I'm going through my notes for today and stuff like that, from the Big 12 basketball to what, you know, the middle of the pack on Big 12 football,
it's
the NFL. If you look there, I mean, there is a lot of comparity, if you will.
Parity, non-competitive football, man, there's a lot.
Things to talk about.
Yeah. Just to let you see what's going on this week. Thursday game is Falcons at Panthers. That's a huge game for the Falcons, who are still winning football game. I mean, they got beat this weekend, but they're still, you know, they're not out of that by any means. Friday night is you and I at Richmond in basketball. Saturday is LSU, Arkansas, Georgia, Mississippi State, and Sunday, another early Sunday game, Seahawks, Buccaneers. They're in Germany. They're in Munich. That's an 8 a.m. pregame. Then you're going to join the Chiefs and the Jaguars at 11 a.m., and the Chargers and the 49ers, and then again, Monday night, you and I at Virginia in basketball. You and I getting a big game out there, so... playing a little big boy games. Take this time to thank sponsors of the show. We have Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group, along with BetMGM and Come and Go. So when I started this weekend, I had $20 in my account. At the highest, I had $200 in my account. At the lowest, I have $42 in my account right now.
Okay.
So not a bet. I mean, it just I was plus, and I bet a lot of games. I mean, because I won early, so I'm like, well, I'm not saving this money.
I'm going to create a device that is directly connected to your wagering apps that if you do not blow clean into your phone, you can't bet because, bet.
By God,
Saturdays
dude,
are not good to me.
I still let you drive, but we shouldn't be letting you.
Sitting on my couch, lighting up at MGM, going, oh, I got this. And they said, no, you don't.
No. So of all the things, I'm trying to think, since I wasn't here yesterday, I mean, we have plenty of time to go over college football. We'll have plenty of time to go over NFL football. A lot of colleges start. Iowa women started. Iowa State women started. A lot of things going on.
Yes.
I had a interview today with Melissa Merrifield from Des Moines Orthopedic.
Wonderful.
And Coach Tom Wilson of the Dowling Catholic Maroons.
There we go.
And I'll probably cut that later tonight, and we might put it on there tomorrow. I told him it wasn't going to be up today. Really good interview.
You mean just
it'll just
properly
play.
Put it, not edit it by any means.
No, I'm going to edit it. I've edited it down already. But I'll have him throw up, and that'll give me a segment that I don't have to talk tomorrow. But it was nice talking to both of them. I have a couple others, an interview next Monday with, I have one with Palmer Group and another one with Des Moines Orthopedic. A lot of big things happening with Des Moines Orthopedic, and we talk about them when we do, when we give them their push here on the radio. I guess my first one that I wanted to talk to you about is, and he's getting lambasted, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. So
let me go to page two of my
notes. Go to page two, because I just think it's interesting, right? The first thing that's interesting in all of it, and you might have to help me because I just lost his name. The owner of the Indianapolis Colts is.
I can see him. Yep. I've seen him nonstop and
all day long. I've seen it, and
but what do you? I mean. Why he went the direction he did?
Well, oh my God, it's Jim Irsay.
Yeah.
Here's the part that I don't understand. And I guess the reason I'm going here is I happen to have watched the Chicago Bears game this weekend. And the Chicago Bears have Ryan Poles is their general manager.
I'm sorry. The Chicago Bears versus whom?
Miami Dolphins.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
A very, very good game. I'll talk about Tua later as well.
I thought Justin Fields looked great.
And it is the ownership group has put trust into Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles understands what he has. He understands Matt. Not that I'm a huge Matt Eberflus, whatever.
There you go.
I didn't like the fact they hired a defensive coordinator, but if you want to make your defense good,
I will follow you.
I like their young offensive coordinator. I think he's starting to get it. He's starting to understand. At least somebody in the league is watching the Baltimore Ravens play because that's how they're kind of running Justin Fields now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Shocker that it might work.
Right. Well, they seem to be playing into his positives.
And the offensive coordinator, I think it's Getty, is his. I want to say Luke Getty, but I don't want to make. I'll look that one up too. But it looks like they understand what they're doing. And the really funny thing is, so the last 2 weeks, you're like, wow, they're playing really well. Oh, we're playing the Dolphins. You know what? It really helped with the Dolphins game is if you had Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith. On your defense, but I get what they're doing.
Right.
Ryan Poles
they're
comes.
Training upward.
Right. Ryan Poles comes from the Kansas City Chief moxie of, we sign some free agents every once in a while, but we're going to do this through the draft. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs have had really good drafts. They understand what they want. I think they know what they have in Justin Fields now. They know he can throw the ball.
Okay, there's where I think you just touched on it. They're not, okay, we're not going to put a bunch of money into weapons for him until we know what Justin Fields has and can be. And they're starting to see that.
Now they're starting to see it.
Yes.
So what we have to do, we don't have to have big offensive linemen. We need quick and agile offensive linemen that can set that first line and give him a little bit of leeway room to see where he wants to go. You don't need those heavy clogger guys. They're not going to be they're not going to be a heavy running back team, but you've got to get him you have to get him another tight end, and you have to get him a go-to on the wide receiver end. Now he got Claypool. That's a possession receiver.
Right.
Moody's kind of that awfully small.
Mm-hmm.
They have that. So I think they're headed. When you look at all these things, I think some of these teams are headed in the right direction. The Indianapolis Colts, so I guess my whole leading up to all this is, I think Chris Ballard is one of the best GMs in football. And we thought there were more wackadoodle owners out there than Jim Irsay, but I don't know. Now, with all that being said, not one time today on Fox, on ESPN, anywhere, Jeff Saturday was a member of the ESPN family.
Mm-hmm.
And was
an
great
analyst.
To
yes.
listen to him. Unbelievable.
Very intelligent.
So, and caring and all those things. Not one person today said anything bad about Jeff Saturday, except for the fact is, why? Well, so I've been thinking about it all day, and I knew I was going to look at you across from me and go, why would you do that? Because it's failed at times. Mike Mayock was horrible coming out of the booth and going down and being the general manager. And then I think a couple of guys said some stuff today, and the biggest one was Colin Cowherd today. And he said he's going to walk into the locker room and everybody in there is already going to respect him because they all know who he is. And they've all been lambasted by him, and they've all talked to him, and they all understand what he is and what he's doing.
Right.
And all he has to do is get all these people in a situation where they're like-minded for the rest of the season, and then you see where things are going
to
go.
This isn't brand new. He's been a paid consultant to the Colts for quite some time.
So the part that I hate is because that didn't sell good radio, right? It's
right.
much more fun to make fun of the Indianapolis Colts. Why in the world would you do that? There was nobody in the room that anybody thought. You'd already fired the offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. and then you fire the coach. The defensive coordinator isn't going to take over that team. The defense is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm ready to respond whenever you're ready.
Go. He made a call. I like it.
Right. Because what you just started to go down the path was no one was talking about Indianapolis.
No.
They were not going anywhere. The moves that they were going to make far as at quarterback. You know, are they weren't playing Matt Ryan.
Right.
Why? All the things were, we don't know what direction we're going to go. Is it a tank situation? Is it, you know, I mean, everybody is pointing fingers of they don't even want to get better, all these different things. And it was either no talk or it was bad talk.
Right.
And I think the whole Jeff Saturday thing is genius.
Just he's going to come in and he's not going to allow the bad talk.
This interim badge isn't half a season. Yeah, there was talk. I guarantee you, if they're willing to drop this now, there was talk of him being the coach next year from the direction they were going. Why are we waiting? Let's drop him in now. Let's start. Brace yourself. Let's change the culture. Okay? He's
even in the NFL, it matters.
Even in the NFL, it matters because is with this, he is going to be the spark, the positivity, the knowledge, the respect, all those things that a very lost locker room is looking for, and day one he can walk in and do that.
I totally agree with you. And I mean I'm looking at the NFL right now. I mean I get it, right? The Buffalo Bills have a really good coaching situation, Sean McDermott. Except for he has issues too.
Right.
You know, you look at the Jets, they're winning. Robert Saleh,
love him.
As soon as he took and said, I'm gonna let my team hang out over here. And I'm going to start going after people. Yeah, I'm writing checks. I'm writing things down, and we're coming back to you, and you're going to eat crow. And he's been able to do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like the way, you know how much I like Mike McDaniels with the Dolphins.
He changed the mindset. It's a younger offensive team. It's mm-hmm. what the league is going to.
And I think the reason they're in last place in that division is I think the New England Patriots need a reset. I don't know how they're ever going to get to a reset.
Reset at what, Gary?
Coaching.
There you
coaching.
Go. Coaching. You just, wow.
I'm ready. I'm ready to go today.
Belichick, wow.
You know, the Ravens, I think, are in a good spot. I'm leery of the Bengals with Zach Taylor, but I'm willing to look. I think the Browns are in trouble. The Steelers are never going to be.
It's Bengals have got to be hurt up front. I mean, it's
well, they have nothing.
Right. I mean,
they've been decimated with injuries. And that's the thing that got the Indianapolis Colts in trouble is they've spent they did what everybody wanted them to do. They spent money on their offensive line, but they didn't have anybody behind it. They didn't have a quarterback behind it that they trusted. Jim Irsay did not trust Matt Ryan. Jim Irsay did not trust Carson Wentz.
No.
And by saying that he didn't trust those two people, then he pretty much says, I don't trust Frank Reich either because I don't think he can do this. So, I mean, exactly. That was doomed. And my thought process is that if a general manager job comes open, I think Chris Ballard jumps and says, right. Let Jim Irsay do what he wants to do, and that right. is run the whole show and let him go, and it's his money. And, I mean, I don't know. There's just so many different teams out there that are lost right now. I think the Jaguars are good. I think the Texans, I love Lovie Smith. He's a good dude, but he doesn't do them any good coaching. I mean, they're just letting that, you know, the Chiefs have a good coach. You know what I think about the Chargers coach.
If you cut into, and this is the thing, when we were watching all the games last weekend, if you cut into a Texan football game and they show you a picture of Lovie and you don't know the score, you don't know if they just fumbled, if they recovered a fumble,
if they're up by 24, if they're down by 24, okay.
Is he all right?
You have to have something.
I mean, he's the Bill Paxton of NFL coaches.
See, that's what, I didn't get to say this to you last weekend, but Mike McDaniels with yes. the Dolphins, they ran a play and two people didn't do what they were supposed to do on that play. Mm-hmm. And he went over and he said to the coach who was in charge of him, mm-hmm. figure it the out now.
Thank you for saying figure. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this can be a short day.
And that's what you want. Lovie Smith's just there. He's like, man, they keep paying me. I come down here, I
These
stand.
These are the best seats.
It's awesome. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming back right after this break live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. It's Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott on this Tuesday. The calm before the storm, weather-wise.
Literally.
Get a beautiful day tomorrow, maybe in the morning.
In the morning.
Get up to 70, and then we're in the 30s for like the next 2 weeks.
Oh, dude, they're talking severe thunderstorms, possible tornadic activity.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was somebody. We'll tell you what all the rest of we're doing here, but we're just talking. Scott and I are talking.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, hey, maybe we should try to do leaves someday this week. And I'm like, yeah, let's wait until after the 50-mile-an-hour winds and see where my leaves go. Yeah. If they all come back, then yes, we need to do leaves. Maybe they'll all go somewhere else.
Or they'll be in one great big pile.
Yes, I mean, it'll be perfect. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans right here on Twitter, at @happyhour_SS, @ScottBrower_13, @SceneOnSports, and @1700TheChamp. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. I have everything up. So, and people, actually, a lot of people downloaded some stuff this weekend, which was really cool. Loving it.
Where do you usually go? Do you go to Audio Boom?
Well, I do it in Audio Boom when I'm listening to it, and I do it in Spotify. Okay. I download stuff in Spotify.
Cool.
I don't know why I the boys hooked me up with Spotify, and I really like Spotify.
Cool.
Because, like, I'll pick 6 songs on Spotify, and before I know it, I've got like 12 other songs that are just like the ones I like by people that I don't know. I mean, Spotify is really cool on how it picks up on your, probably not good that they pick up on everything that I say. Now that I say that, that's probably a bad thing, but
no.
Hey, whatever. Let's see. Thursday.
Algorithm.
So we're on,
it's all good.
We're on Tuesday. Thursday, I'll do this one. Thursday is going to be Falcons and Panthers. You may not think that's a big game, but it's a big game for the Falcons. I was going to look here while we were sitting here. The Falcons are, they are 4-5, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 4-5.
Right.
One of those two teams is going to get to go to the playoffs.
Okay. Do you realize that the winner of that game leads the NFC South?
Yes, at 500. And that's the thing that we talked a little bit about the Green Bay Packers. We'll probably talk about them a little bit later here because you have Packer fans and I have Packer fans.
Yes.
And they have two more games they can lose. Because if they lose two more games, that gets them at 8. And the best they can be is 9-8. And the Vikings are 7-1. The Vikings have games. They're going to win. So I don't know. If I'm the Packers and you play the Cowboys, you have to play the Titans, you have to play the Dolphins. There's a tough schedule.
Man. I know. And I keep telling myself that there's one more in him. And that's what I thought. I thought there's one. He's going to be Aaron Rodgers one more time.
Oh, yeah. Detroit Lions are a horrible defense.
No.
Green Bay Packers are a horrible offense. And a horrible defense. And their special teams weren't good this past weekend either. That's not a good combo there.
And he's paying for so many weapons. Wait a minute.
You hit Northwest Bank.
Absolutely Northwest Bank. Commitment you can bank on. Taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agricultural. I got it right that time. Private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Northwest Financial Group earned Top Workplace Award for the 8th year in a row from the Des Moines Register. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for the ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Also, take advantage of applying to your loans online from Northwest Bank. Once again, don't wait. Open an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment you can count on. Member FDIC.
Awesome. Nice job. Nice to have Northwest Bank be a part of the program. One side note, as a Baltimore Ravens fan, Charlie Kolar, off injured reserve today. He is now a member of the squad, ready to play. And with everybody being, Andrews being hurt and Isaiah likely, being their star tight end, I think Charlie's going to get some playing time. So good for him.
Did you watch all the game last night or just get just bits and pieces?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson's really good.
He is.
He's not bad. But they still have issues. Here's the thing. So somebody asked me at work before we jump back in, because I want to jump back in on McDaniels and Kevin O'Connell again.
Yes, sir.
They asked me what I thought about the Ravens getting Roquan Smith. Mm-hmm. And I said, here's the really funny thing. They have Patrick Queen, but they have so many things that they want him to do because he can rush the passer, he's good against the run, and he can cover people out of the backfield. And they go, okay. And I'm like, what's Roquan Smith good at? Well, all of those things. Well, now one of them is going to specifically, the only thing he's going to do is chase the quarterback. And the great thing is he doesn't have to get worn out doing it because they can just keep switching off on who's going to go. And if one likes coming up the middle more or one likes to come on the outside, nobody knows when they're coming, but one of them's going to be coming. And I go, that gives them a whole new level. Could they have gotten wide receivers and all that? Listen, they're going to have to, at some point in time, they're going to have to spend money. But what they don't know is they don't know what they're going to do. Because if they franchise tag Lamar Jackson next year, it's like $58 million because it's the highest and it's then a percentage. And
okay, not to get off on a side note there, because he doesn't have an agent when he's negotiating his own thing. Do you think they are going to franchise tag him?
I don't think they have a choice because I don't think you can let him go. I mean, if you were going to do that, you should have traded him.
Right.
And maybe they still can do that. Maybe they go into the draft and say, okay, we've got some older players. We got some, maybe if we like one of these young kids, you know what, maybe they like Trey Lance or maybe they like somebody and go, we're going to let Lamar go. And then he's going to go to a good team. And then you're not beating that team for.
See, that's my concern with Lamar. And I've always said this about him not having a agent.
Yeah.
I think the lights can get dim and I think the lights can get really bright. And I think somebody could say, all right, cool. They're not giving you weapons. They're not this. You're important. We're going to build in 2 years or even 1 year. We're going to put all these weapons around you and we're going to succeed. You know, I mean, if they don't grab him and put the franchise tag on him, I mean, he's low hanging fruit for somebody to grab.
And see, talking about him is where I was leading back into Kirk Cousins is he's never, it's not his, the Minnesota Vikings traded for him when he was on, because he kept with the Redskins, he just kept taking the franchise tag. And then so he got traded and they say, hey, do you want to sign the long-term? No, I'm good franchise tagging.
Mm-hmm.
And then the franchise tag kept going up and up and up, mm-hmm. and up and it just made Mike Zimmer madder and madder and madder and madder. What do I have? I don't have, even though he didn't put anybody around him, mm-hmm. didn't do anything, built up his defense, did all that. And So everybody's mad at Kirk Cousins because of the amount of money he's making. The reason that Kirk Cousins is making all the money is because NFL owners, and that is what we think NFL
right.
owners,
it's not
and that
a negotiated
is.
Number.
No, it's not, and it's they're not great football people. They're great business people, or they're great yes. people who had fathers that were great business people. Yes. They don't know how to do all this stuff. They're just like going, hey, nah, that's a lot of money. I don't know if I want to spend that. Maybe I want to do something else. But what you have going on in Miami from where they were, and you knew how much I did not like the fact that Miami had a defensive-minded coach with all the offensive talent that they had.
Yes, exactly.
And he came in, and he's like, okay, so he comes from San Francisco. I think he liked Trey Lance's big arm, and I think he liked the way that Jimmy Garoppolo could win games, but mm-hmm. both of them had huge flaws. And that's in the most important moment of the most important game, neither one of them were accurate. Guess what Tua is? Accurate as hell.
I told you that.
Unbelievable. And what he's done is his pocket window before he had Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle actually had somebody, even though I wouldn't want Tyreek Hill to be my role model outside of football. On the football field, I want him to be my role
exactly.
model.
Exactly.
Once he learned, okay, so before I had about 2.1 seconds and then I was getting hit. But now if I take a couple of steps, all I need is 3 seconds. And in 3 seconds, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are halfway down the field, and I can right. I can use my arm.
Right.
It is so much. He was just sitting back there, just laser beam, laser beam, laser beam. Now, in the playoffs, if they're not the number one seed and they go somewhere where it's cold and they don't have a running game and all those things, it's going to be tough. But I still got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle as long as they're healthy.
Right, and that's the thing is if he just had one.
Gesicki or Gesicki?
Gesicki.
Gesicki. I have him on my fantasy team. He's right. I love having him on my fantasy team. Especially with Mark Andrews.
But you touched on it, though, with Tua. If he was a one-option, one weapon, they're all over him.
Yep, you're done.
I mean,
he's going to get sacked. He's going to get hurt
because
again.
They've got – yeah, I mean, I'm loving to see there's bits and pieces that come out in the running game. I mean, they've had four – you know, by committee is one thing, but they had four. They got rid of one. I mean, it's to get a little bit of running game, they do have some yeah. powerful tight ends. It just – but it's his accuracy and his speed of getting rid of the ball is fun to watch.
And the whole key to all of that is the same thing that some others are doing as well. Mike McDaniels goes, okay, here's his – he can get rid of the ball quick. He's got a strong arm. I just got to give him and he's not real tall, so I have to give him an avenue. And he goes, that's what we're going to build our offense around.
Right.
And that's what they do. If they have people that rush up inside and they play a team that's tough in the middle and rush hard up,
right.
they roll him out. When they have things that come from the side, they keep him in the pocket and they have him blanketed so he has a throwing lane.
Right.
He is coaching how you expect a coach to coach in 2022.
I was told by some of my 49er friends when I'm like, who is this guy? What are we? And they're saying, you're going to love him.
Yep.
Intelligent, exciting, all these his interviews are amazing, all these different things. To me, once I figured out and started listening to what they were saying, he looked at a list of ingredients of what he had.
Yep.
And those ingredients were sitting down in Miami, and he knew he needed to add just a little bit. But he needed to take those main ingredients. And he figured out he had pepperoni, cheese, he had some French bread, this, and this. You know what? I think I can probably make a pizza. All I need is a little bit of sauce, right?
And he got
didn't,
the sauce.
He didn't look at those pieces and go, I can make an apple pie. So he right. took the tools that he had.
And went out and got one thing.
Right.
And that was the fastest guy in pro football.
Which is pretty smart.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a slam dunk, but it seems to be working.
And
if you can keep little Tua off his from bouncing his head off the ground.
Right. And when you take a look back and you take that same with the Vikings, Mike Zimmer was never happy with Kirk Cousins. It wasn't his guy, and he was just never going to give him anything because if I do, then everybody's going to like him and they're not going to like me because that's just the way it goes. And Kevin O'Connell came in and said, he's accurate. He doesn't throw picks. I can work through this. And then what do they do? What do the Minnesota Vikings do? They go out and get TJ Hockenson. He's
yes.
been there. He was there less than 24 hours, and they targeted him 8 times.
Well, yeah. And I thought that was pretty darn cool.
It was amazing.
Here's my, as we're going through this, talking quarterbacks and talking displays and all these different things, the one that you were talking about earlier, Justin Fields in Chicago, yes. Right? And the mobility and all these different things and stuff like that. That's great right now because he's young and he bounces back up and stuff like that. That's not sustainable. That's not a 5-year thing. We've seen the Cordell Stewarts. We've seen the Mike Vick. Different reasons for Mike Vick. But, I mean, it's that style.
Right.
He's not as big as Lamar Jackson, dude.
No. He's not. But he's not taking hits either. He took hits early this year.
Right.
In that game that past weekend, he ran out of bounds.
Right.
He didn't get hit. He never took a real straight-on hit. I mean, he's understanding. I think someone got to him and said, okay, we want you to run, and we're going to use you running.
But go out of bounds, don't put your head down.
And when the only time you put your head down is if it's a manufacturer. We are actually calling a run, which the Ravens do with him. Heck, before Tua had a concussion, that's what the Dolphins did with him. Every once in a while, they would just call a quarterback run and get him out so people wouldn't know what to do.
Right.
There are teams that you know the Philadelphia Eagles coach, Sirianni.
Sirianni, I was going to say.
Horrible first interview. God awful.
Right.
And what's he done? He put his head down. This is what I'm good at. I'm good at calling plays. Mm-hmm. I'm good at getting people open.
Right.
Okay. Management. I need one thing. Jalen Hurts is going to be a really good quarterback in this league. Same thing that they did with Tua. I got to get him somebody who, no matter how he throws the ball up, he's going to come down with
the ball.
Go get the ball.
Exactly.
AJ Brown.
Yep.
And now Jalen Hurts is almost unstoppable because he has speed. He has that same. It's not Jalen Waddle, but he has that same speed.
Right.
What is his name? It'll come to me here in a sec. But he has that speed, but now he has that guy who can always get open. And that's what he's done. So all these teams are doing exactly what you needed to do. And so I'm even saying it even more to you now. The NFL and college football are exactly the same thing. If you have a team that knows what they're going to do at all times, and this is where I give the Hawkeyes credit, they knew they had a good defense. The one thing they couldn't do is turn the ball over. So once they finally got Spencer Petras not to turn the ball over all the time, they've been perfectly fine. But the difference is they now know who they're playing, and they know that they're better than all these teams.
Are you alluding to the conversation we had off air where you said the Kansas City Chiefs are the Iowa Hawkeyes?
Yes, they are.
It's the same scenario.
Yeah, they know what they can do to people. And they know what the difference between the Chiefs and the Iowa Hawkeyes. It's the Kansas City Chiefs offense, and their defense is saying, okay, when we can attack and do that, we're going to be really good. We're going to have really bad games every once in a while because our defense will play back. Just like Iowa had bad games because their offense played back.
Right.
It's just the separate side of the ball.
We're going to get into Hawkeyes and Cyclone football and everything here in a little bit.
We'll hit that after we come back. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We'll be right back.
Council.
Brewed in Des Moines. You're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, coming to you live right here in the, what is our studio? I wrote this down.
It is the now hiring
Iowa.com
studio.
Yep. That's where we're coming from. Now we get what not hire.
It's a cumulus thing.
Yeah, it's a cumulus. Now hiring, not hiring. That was
what did I say?
No, I said not. You said now. Not hiring. Now hiring. I get you. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower _13, and at Happy Hour _SS. The website is 1700thechamp.com. Falcons, Panthers tonight. You get a, Thursday. You get a UNI game against Richmond on Friday at 5:30, and you get one on Monday at 6:30. So Interesting. 5:30. Well, 5:30 pregame on Friday. That means that I might get off work early on Friday.
All right.
Hey.
Well, make sure you got your coat. Cause it's supposed to be really cold that day.
There we go. Maybe I need to talk to them about that. That's kind of cool. I like it. I'm looking forward to making my way up to. We're just gonna have to. We're gonna have to take a weekend and go up and see David Harris. And one of the women's or men's, I don't care, because you know how much I love Tanya Warren, too. So,
oh, yeah.
Coach Jacobson's a nice-looking
guy. Falls.
Yeah, go up to Cedar Falls, spend a night, just go out, have some fun, and...
we got to go eat at the Brown Bottle, then.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Of course we do. But it's exciting about the UNI Panthers as well. So I guess this one's mine.
Yes.
So I'm going to do Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. They provide design, engineer, install, program, and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, camera controls in the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security all at once. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. It's nice having them, too. It's a really, really, really cool company. Okay, so... We've hammered on pro football enough. Let's talk a little college football. We are about an hour away from new playoff picture poll.
Oh,
that's not going to have Alabama in it. It's not going to have Clemson in it. What a weekend!
TCU still outside looking in?
TCU has to be in. I would be okay. Here's the thing. TCU's schedule to end the season is tough.
Right.
And people think, well, Iowa State can beat TCU.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. They can beat TCU. So the chances of TCU making the playoff aren't very good, but the chances of Alabama and Clemson making the playoff isn't very good either. So
yeah, but they have to have their minimum of two SEC teams to get in there though.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen.
Oh, ESPN has power.
See, I think that the only way that was going to happen is if Tennessee would have beaten Georgia, and because I think that kind of lends itself to that. Now LSU is the Brian Kelly. What did I tell you about Brian Kelly when he was at Notre Dame, and he loved Notre Dame. He loved all that past stuff. You know, he loved that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I want this guy. I don't think he can get in. Well, how about that? I don't think he can get in. LSU goes, oh, yeah. Come on down. We're going to play football today.
He doesn't even have a shirt on. It's okay.
Bring him down. Once I said it may take him a while because the kids are going to have to buy in because he's not easy. Man, he has a system and he has things you have to do. And if you can't do them, you're not going to play. I don't care how good you are. You're not playing.
Right.
But now, when Alabama has 10 of those guys and Brian Kelly's used to getting beat because he had two, now he has 10. And I don't care how much you want to love Nick Saban or Jimbo Fisher or any of that, Brian Kelly with talent is probably the best coach in college football. You may not like him because he's not easy to like because he's just a rat nose, you know?
It's his fake southern accent that gets me.
You know what? I'm even, you know what? All those people that made fun of him are like, man, look what, yeah, players. That's what he needs. He needs play. And
right.
The thing that
he's got a system that works, yes.
The thing that he can do better than anybody in college football, you give him a running quarterback, he can win. You give him a drop back passer, he can win. You give him both, and he can really win. But it doesn't matter. Right-handed, left-handed, it doesn't matter. Running game, no running game. He will make the team good.
What happened to Clemson?
They just don't play anybody. They're just not that good a football team.
What happened to Clemson to get beat by Notre Dame 35-14?
They were
exposed, is what you're telling me?
Once again, Dabo Sweeney has had, and I'm sorry, and this was not a hit for me on Iowa. I'm talking about Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State over the last 15 years got to do all the things they did because the Big Ten was never any good. And then all of
you
a sudden,
you mean the lower end?
The lower end.
The
so
lower,
you,
yes.
You had 5 wins. Clemson had 7 wins.
Right.
And so, okay, on a good year, we play a really good team in at the start of the year, and we win, and we go to the playoff. We lose, and we get to a really good bowl game, mm-hmm. and that's the way we do. We're going to have 1 or 2 losses because we are going to play a couple of teams because we have to. But they're never going to play a team in the ACC that could compete with them and could. I don't know why that is. Maybe Dabo Swinney is one of those guys that he's a way better recruiter than he is a coach. That would make sense to me.
This is the most Dabo comment after the game. We earned this loss tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
You did. You did earn it, buddy. And that they were so used to just having it handed to them. And here's the other thing that's going to affect Georgia, and it's going to affect Alabama, and it's going to affect LSU. There's only one other school in that conference that has the fan base and the money that can compete with some of these guys, and it's Auburn, and they just can't get the coach right. If they give that, if Deion Sanders takes that job, which I don't think he will.
No, it's going to be.
Because he likes Jacksonville State. He wants to, is it Jacksonville State? Is that what it is? I can't remember where he coaches.
Yes.
It's JSU. I just don't.
Right, yeah.
And because that means something to him. It's an all-black school. It means a lot to Deion. If they could convince him.
Well, but also his message means something at that school.
It does.
Now he goes to Auburn. Does his message mean what it meant?
He's still prime time. To everybody, he's still prime time.
I think he'd get eaten alive. But
see, I think he's a great coach. Now, does he where he's at? Does he need good coordinators? No, they can probably get away with it. If he goes to Auburn, he has to have people that he trusts to run his defense and offense.
It's Jackson State, not Jacksonville.
I'm sorry, Jackson State.
Okay. See, I don't. I think he is flashy. I think he is loud, and I think that's what he can get done with his resources that he has. Again, he went to the fridge, saw what he had. He's going to make what he can, not try to make something that's not. I think he's going to get outside his box if he would go to Auburn, and that's certain people can have success at a Division I level. Some people can only stop at a Division II. Some can't go from college to NFL because it's a different beast. I think it's a different beast.
He's a savant on the defensive side of the ball and getting people above.
He was.
No, I'm just saying.
He can coach. You're saying he can pull that out of players.
I think he can. This is my thought process on that. Is I watch some of these other coaches, and you know, that would be my thing. I mean, I look at Nick Saban, and he's just he's just that red nosed old dude,
right?
And Kirk Ferentz
massive amount of hardware on his hands that he just lays on the table and says, yep. "Oh, sorry, let me move my trophy out of the way."
And why is he losing now though? Because, and they said this today, and Paul Feinbaum is the biggest Alabama apologist there's ever been in life, or SEC apologist, probably more than that.
Right.
And he said, here's the difference, is now that you have name, image, and likeness, being the fourth linebacker on Alabama,
right.
Which used to mean that if somebody got hurt, you still had a stud back there.
Right.
He ain't getting any money. And not being the fourth dude in Alabama, right.
And like we've talked about this many times.
He gets to go to Virginia, or he gets to go somewhere.
And he's
somewhere.
The number one or number two, and he gets the money, and he gets the TV time, which gets him ready for the next level, if he even gets the next level, because he's already getting the money.
Right. And that's the difference with Alabama, is if they have an injury, or they have a year where they did last year, where like 9 guys went in the first round,
mm-hmm.
you can't replace him because he doesn't have multitudes of
players.
Well,
you can replace
him,
but it may be instead of immediately back in the chamber, it's, oh, well, he's got to develop, or he's a true freshman, or this, where it's not, it takes time.
Yeah, and see, that's kind of where, and I can't even talk about Iowa State in this way because they're not there, but right now, if you're Iowa, I have this great defense, and a lot of them are going to be gone, and am I going to be able to refuel that? Because I can't refuel my offense if I still have, because that's not going away.
Right.
Brian Ferentz is going to be there, and he's going to be the offensive.
Let's get now. You have to read this year, and then we'll figure out. We'll figure out next year.
That's going to be the. That's going to be the thing. 6-6. You're going to go to a bowl game, and people are going to be happy. Don't forget all about it. Happy Hour Sports. Dean and Scott live 101.3 FM 1700 Champ AM.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3.